Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Adulting Hour. This year, season two. Woohoo! Welcome to season two. This year, we're just going to be talking about adult things that a lot of us need to know or we just want to talk about. Right now, I am sitting here with Jonathan Hardy. Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. That's fantastic, Jonathan. Tell us about yourself. Who are you?
Oh, I am so many things, but right now I am the Diversion Program Coordinator at Dispute Resolution Center in St. Paul, Minnesota. My job is to coordinate with the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, or excuse me, the City of St. Paul Attorney's Office. And they refer cases to me for low-level misdemeanors, low-level felonies to come in and do the restorative circle process. To do the restorative circle process and have a different way of getting through the court system of a crime that was committed. I don't really like to use the word, but it's still the case. Yeah. It's a crime that they were charged with. So we help facilitate that and get that through so they can get out. And if they're straight ethos, which is the name of the program out of the attorney's office, they will get an expungement.
Ethos is an acronym, correct?
Yes. Do not ask me what the acronym is.
I get that. So why is it important for you to be part of this program?
The thing that's really important is, it's for me, is because I spent 17 years in prison. And I saw people, including myself, that would have loved a second chance. Obviously, being 17 years in prison, there's no second chances for that. And that's okay, because there was no second chance necessary. I had to create my own second chance. And now working at DRC, my hope is to help facilitate second chances and get people out of the traditional court system and into this diversion where we talk and we work on being heard and we are non-judgmental and we want just something different than, hey, you have this misdemeanor that now turns into a felony because you maybe ran a red light or something. And now things are just happening. And next thing you know, it's hard to find a place to live. It's hard to get a job. So I'm trying to help slow that down, if not stop it completely.
That's fantastic. It sounds like you're working with some systemic things too as well. So let's talk about second chances. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some people say, I hear a lot, some people don't deserve second chances, but I think that's wrong in a lot of cases. How do you feel about that?
Anybody that thinks that second chances, some people don't deserve second chances, means nobody deserves second chances. Mm-hmm. If it can't be for everybody, it can't be for anybody. That's just how it has to be. Because nobody can say, there are people that are locked up for murder and terrible crimes and maybe less terrible crimes, but they all deserve a second chance. It may look different, but they deserve a second chance and they deserve to have an opportunity to make themselves better.
And that is the way our system is set up. Our system is set up for you to go do your time, pay your debt to society, and then when you get out, you're supposed to have a second chance. A lot of times people don't get those second chances, but you're supposed to have a second chance. And it's fantastic that you're doing this, because you actually working with people even before they get to that point to give them a second chance to move forward to that next level. So you said you were 17 years old when you were locked up?
No, I've been locked up 17 years. I got locked up when I was 19 years old.
When you were 19?
Yep.
And what city was this in?
St. Paul.
St. Paul?
Yep.
Okay. And if you don't mind getting into details, if you don't have to, but...
Right. I think I can get into some details because, it's a podcast. I don't want to bring up any traumas for anybody because right. It's serious.
Yeah.
So I was convicted of second-degree murder, aiding and abetting, in a drive-by shooting.
Okay.
So somebody died, and it was directly caused by us. So as a result, we went to prison. And had a long time, real long time to think real hard about life choices, and a lot of things come with that.
A lot of young men nowadays out in these streets, and we see it every single day, are just one hangout, as I call it, away from being in that same situation. Mm-hmm. So if you had it to do again or to talk to your younger self, what would you have told your younger self before the situation had happened?
Well, I mean, I think it's always the same. It's don't you dare. And don't you absolutely dare. But I'm hoping I would be more intellectual about it. And I would say, you know what? You know, not only watch out for these guys, but just watch out in general. Because people that you think are your friends, if you're not doing the research, if you're not paying attention to them, if you're not watching them, you know, you could easily just end up in a situation just as easy. It's super, super easy for that to happen. So I would just tell myself, hey, just watch. Don't get too excited. You'll get more friends, whatever. Just watch.
That's so true. You know, speaking of being in circumstances, just being in the car with someone, I had a friend who I worked with for years, and he was going to school to be a police officer. And he was in a car with his, actually not even friends, he was in a car with his cousins. And they went to a gas station to get gas. He was sitting in the car, and his cousins went into the gas stations. And then they came out and they jumped in the car and they pulled off. And so he's just sitting in there, but you know, he got a soda because he sent him in there for a soda. He was sitting there drinking his soda. And the police had pulled up behind him. And then all of a sudden he said he saw like police cars coming from all over the place. And he was like, man, he was like, well. He had no clue on what was going on. And then his cousin was like, just be cool. It's okay. So then the police got out the car and they had the guns drawn on them. Mm-hmm. And then they pulled him out the car, had him all on the ground. Now, mind you, it has been 20 minutes gone by. He had no clue on what was going on. His cousins didn't even tell him what was going on. So then by the time they put him in the back of the car, they realized that the police officer was reading him his rights. And he was like, why are you reading my rights? I have no idea what's going on. I'm sitting in the car. He said, well, you guys just went in and robbed the gas station and injured a person inside the gas station. And he said, I was sitting in the car the entire time and I had nothing to do with it. But yet and still, he ended up doing 7.5 years for a crime that his cousins had committed. And this, it goes to say, you know, you have to be aware of who you're hanging out with, even if it's family members. You know, some family members can put you in some really bad situations. But he got out, and now he got out and went to college, and he got a degree in business, and now he's running his own little company right now. But he wanted to be a police officer, but he can't be a police officer because that happened. But now he's doing something completely different from what his dreams were. But it's all about paying attention to your surroundings and who you're with. And anybody could be in that situation. This just goes to show you that anyone at any time can be in that situation, regardless on it being your friend, your cousin, your wife, your brother, or whatever.
Yeah, the interesting thing on that in itself is that, you know, cops do that all the time and they don't get in trouble. Yeah, I was just over here. I didn't know he's beating that guy to death.
Right.
You know, but they don't get the same treatment. They just get to go home and go back to work. So, you know, yeah, of course, it's definitely not fair. So I just wanted to make sure that was said because, you know, it's just, you know, they say all cops aren't bad, you know, that people try to spew that. And it's like, well, if I can sit in the car and not know people are robbing a gas station and you can still give me almost a decade. Use that same energy. Bring that same energy for them cops that just sit there and watch people get beat up and don't say nothing.
Or that are there when someone gets injured, a shot, or whatever, and become an accessory. But that's a whole other conversation. That's a whole other conversation, which I understand. I understand how you feel about it, but it totally is a whole other conversation, all that great stuff. You know, so now you with the DRC and you working with people with second chances and do after you do like after the initial meeting is set up and then when you get done with the paperwork and you help them get their records expunged, what's the follow up?
So the follow up after their case is given back to the city.
Yes.
Well, luckily that's what lovely Tiffany is going to do. She is going to do follow-ups because we do want to know how people are doing. We want to make sure that, well, we want to know if there's anything we can do to help or facilitate because we know life keeps moving and life is, you know, can be tough. I got people with restitutions that may not be high to some people, but it's very high to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I have volunteers that actually donate their money to help people pay their restitutions, bless their hearts.
So if somebody wanted to volunteer with this program, how could they volunteer? Could they go about it?
You would absolutely, for diversion, you would contact me at restorative@drc-mn.org. And you would just put in the subject line, "I'd like to volunteer." Restorative is the email address where you would contact me, restorative@drc-mn.org. You would contact me and just say, "Hey, I'm interested in being a volunteer. When we have a training, I will get a hold of you and we will say, hey, it's going to be on this date at this time. Can you make it? Yes or no?" You know what I mean? And either you can make it or you can't, you know. And we definitely want volunteers. We need community members. We need circle keepers. We need these people because we got more cases coming and we need all the help we can get, you know.
And what are the benefits of volunteering?
In restorative, in this, it's tenfold. It's a beautiful thing. You don't know what you don't know until you hear it out of somebody else's mouth. So when you're in circle, if everybody's doing everything as they're supposed to do, dealing with prompts, getting to know each other, what you start finding out is, well, first of all, we're not different. Like, we are absolutely not different at all. And you just start learning and you learn somebody's perspective. And that perspective is like, I'd never thought of it like that before in my life. And it just, it changes you throughout the circle process. It's a very draining process if you're really invested in it. It's just draining because there's so much that you are learning and so much info and so much just data that you're taking in. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever been involved in. It's every time. It's just like, my goodness, I don't know. Woo.
That's fantastic. And you said circle. What do you mean when you say circle?
So a restorative circle, which is something that the Native Americans or just natives, because this is theirs, that they practiced, as well as different places around the world, including Africa, where people would sit for days. We do it for hours, but they did it for days. You wouldn't leave that circle until the issue was solved. It was no violence. There was no disrespect. It was all respect. It was all listening, and it was beautiful. And I tried to continue facilitating that because I want people to be able to safely, you know, get across what's going on for them and how they're feeling about a situation. So, yeah.
Jonathan, I just want to thank you so much for being part of this, the Adulting Hour. You can listen to this podcast on all platforms, even on the BBC. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening. You guys have a fantastic day.
Thank you very much for having me. If you want to volunteer, come on by. Restorative@drc-mn.org. You can go to the website, www.disputeresolutioncenter.org. Or you can call 651-292-7791. You can push any of the prompt buttons. You're going to get a human.
That's right. And ask for Jonathan Hardy. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you on our next podcast.